Alrighty, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Beauty and the Beast PT and Strength Conditioning Podcast. We are back after about, what, month and a half hiatus?
Yeah, something along those lines. It's been a long while. It's got a little lonely there for a couple weeks.
I will tell you, though, that I feel a little bit more... I was a little bit more excited to do this today than I was before. Not that I wasn't enjoying it, but we kind of were...
Rejuvenated.
Yeah, we were running into...
My mental juices were running low.
Yeah.
And I think they heard us talk about that a bunch of times, if you have any ideas. And, you know, we were taking breaks there for a while. So I think the extended break was good. You know, we at least have, you know, solid 2 months looking at the list of stuff that we can talk about. So I thought it was good. Plus, you know, I know you've been busy with things working on behind the scenes for the business. And, you know, I was going through the process of trying to see if I could actually hire someone to kind of advance the business. And, you know, it takes a lot of time. So unfortunately, even though this is one of the more fun, relaxing things I can do, gets pushed down the totem pole a little bit, gets put on the back burner, but we're back. I hope everyone has not left us and hasn't moved on to a new podcast. So today, Adam and I are going to kind of take a slower approach. Is really nothing that we should be getting worked up on. We're just going to give honest opinions. And today we're going to be talking about using machines as weights, like a Planet Fitness type gym versus free weights, kind of debate and talk about the pros and cons of both. You know, and I know there are some people that are very black and white when it comes to this mm-hmm. stuff, you know, but again, we have to look at it in terms of gray, and we'll talk about why. So, what are your thoughts about machines? So if someone says, I go to Planet Fitness, you know, what's the first thought that pops into your head?
So in terms of machines, I prefer free weights for most people just because of some things that I'm sure we'll get into. But at the end of the day, if somebody hasn't been moving much and they go in and they use the machines, fine. Yeah. You're going in, you're resistance training, you know... Free weights are harder, especially for a new person, just because of the stability and that kind of stuff, the joint stability involved, and you know, no, just like simple crap, like knowing how to hold the dumbbell the right way for a certain exercise.
Yep.
Or, you know, we've talked a lot about rows, how people can, rather than actually retracting the shoulder back, they just tip the shoulder forward. Like, you, unless you set up incorrectly with the machine, it's a lot easier to do a correct range of motion.
Yep.
Than it is with a dumbbell. So for somebody starting out, they're really can be really fantastic. Or for somebody that has some sort of pathology, pain, mm-hmm. whatever, and they need a more fixed range of motion so that they don't end up in a, you know, bad situation, a bad bad angles, bad yeah. whatever.
Well, and I like how you pointed out where you just said, if someone says they're going to use machines, I say fine. And for me, my response is good. Like, I have no ill will towards machines, you know, and I understand from a functional standpoint, I believe that's where you were going, and we'll talk more about it. But whatever allows someone to exercise, I'm a fan of. So it really doesn't matter to me. And if you asked me this 10 years ago, I probably would have had a different answer.
Yep.
I would have been like, nope, free weights, you got to do it. Machines suck. That's embarrassing. But I've softened the stance on it. And also depends, are you an athlete? Are you just someone who wants to be active? Are you a bodybuilder? Because there are a lot of benefits in machine training with bodybuilding as far as isolation is concerned. But, you know, I really am okay with whatever people want to use. And especially with a newbie, when you get those rookies coming in who don't have the core control or the stabilization required, that's why we have machines in the first place. You know, so when we look at them and people, you know, bastardize them or demonize them, oh, it doesn't allow for functional movement. Yes, I get that. But also, it minimizes the risk of someone getting hurt. And that's what I'm all for. Because, you know, if you set it up correctly, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but if you set the machine up correctly, your chance of getting hurt is extremely minimal.
Oh, it's so much lower.
And you have to try to hurt yourself on a machine.
Yeah.
You know, and again, with that, it's you've set the seat up wrong. You know, maybe the handles aren't where they're supposed to be. You know, because with a machine, if you put heavy weight on, it's just not going to move.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're sitting in the seat, let's say a chest press, for example, where I'm upright, pushing out, it's just not going anywhere.
Right.
So I have no choice but to loosen it. Whereas you do a bench press, you put on too much weight, you can still potentially lift the bar off the rack. And then if it's too heavy, it's going to crush your sternum,
right,
hit you in the esophagus, death. I mean, things along those lines. So there's a lot worse stuff that can happen with free weights. But
yeah, and that it also offers you options that you may not have otherwise. Like you think about, like the hack squat machine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still consider that a machine because it's on rails. It's a fixed range of motion, but a hack squat is at an angle, so it decreases the amount that gravity is actually pushing down on you. So somebody that has, as long as they're set up correctly, somebody that has knee pain or back pain or something can go through the range of motion that maybe you would on like a, in quotes, perfect squat.
Yeah.
But you've actually decreased the load on the joints because it, rather than being straight up and down like a squat, you're at an angle. Like just little stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean another, so, you know, we already started talking about what machines we like. We might as well just keep going down that path. You know, one of the best machine-based exercises that I can think of that's safe and can really isolate the muscles that we're trying to is a horizontal leg press.
Yep.
Now, with free weights, typically we see a 45-degree, 55-degree, or 65-degree leg press, which, if someone doesn't know what they're doing, the second that they unhook the locks, it potentially could come crashing down on you.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully they're not going to do that. But with a horizontal, very, very safe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I like a lot of people. That's at least an introduction to get people into a squat because now that you have a platform you can push off of. The one mistake I see a lot of people make is their feet are too low on the platform.
Yes.
So their knees, there's too much of a knee bend at the top, and I don't really like that. But I think that's a very good exercise for beginners, even for someone like you and I who predominantly do barbell training. You know, if someone said to me, oh, I feel like I need to increase time under tension with my quads. Mm-hmm. All right, well, the leg press, do all your normal stuff, and then add weights in the end, or the machines at the end. So I think there's certainly a time and a place for it. You know, think back to when you first started working out, you know, knee extensions and leg curls were still predominantly used, and you mm-hmm. still see that, but not necessarily in the sports world. But the leg press is something where it's okay, you know, I call it a partial weight bearing. So that's something that I enjoy people using. I also like machines from a standpoint of rehab because you can really control it.
Yeah.
So if someone says to me, oh, a push-up hurts, a bench press hurts, well, why don't we try a machine chest press? We can control the motion that we're working at, you know. So I really like those machines a lot. Plus, I feel you can also isolate the muscles a lot easier as well. I mean, there's nothing quite like just drop sets on a machine. Quick and easy, pull the pin, stack it in.
Yep.
So you can still get a perfect desired training effect. It's just, are you going to get high intensity interval training? No. You know, the problem is with that, the time that it takes to go from machine to machine, you don't know how many other people are in there with you. So it makes it pretty problematic. Now, so we already started talking to it, but in your mind, what are the benefits of machine training? And I won't even say versus free weights because it's just not a fair conversation, but just for a newbie and for stability, we know that's a benefit. What are some other benefits that people could take away and say, okay, I do machine training because of X?
I mean, the biggest one for me is is the decreased risk of injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everybody going into a gym, when I say not everybody, it's probably closer to the majority of people that are going into a gym probably haven't worked with a coach, haven't worked with any sort of personal trainer, or maybe it's worked with some ones in the past that weren't, you know, did like a session here, a session there, but it never really stuck.
Yeah.
And they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what the correct form is. They don't know that if you do it this way, you could. I remember going to the, I went to the gym, I guess it was about 2 months ago now. I ended up jumping in on these two high school kids because they were trying to, one of them was trying to explain to the other how to do a bent over row with a barbell. And just like, he couldn't, and like he was trying hard, and he was saying kind of, in my opinion, he was saying the right things, but he didn't know what to say to get the other person to get into the correct position.
Yeah.
So I just like, I was mid-set right next to them, and I was like, hey man, do you mind if I just, I can help you out. And I coached him through it in like 2 seconds, but just, if you don't know what you don't know, then you can run into issues.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And working with machines, I mean, like you said, you get on a chest press machine and you go to push it, and if it's too much weight, it just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't come, you know, it's not like doing a dumbbell one where you have to get, where you have to change positions from seated to lying down, and you have to get both hands up, mm-hmm. and you have to do all that under control. And then with two different movements, you have to bring both the weights down without one dropping forward, back, left, right.
Yep.
You know, it just, it takes so many variables out of the equation that can cause issues if you're somebody that isn't working with someone that knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. You know, and it's a lot easier to teach someone how to use machines also. So for a lot of places, like at the local Y, when they do an orientation with someone, they don't show them free weights. They show mm-hmm. them the free weight room.
Yep.
But then they take them over to, I forget what they have, Cybex, Nautilus, I forget,
right.
Precor, I believe they actually have now. And they teach them the little circuit that they have, and you know, then if they need more of an orientation, then I think they can do it. But it's just a lot easier. You know, you set them up, you find what settings they need to be at, boom, write it down for them, they're good to go. You know, they're not going to hurt themselves.
I think it also increases the amount that you can train. The length of time, the amount of reps, the amount of exercises, because what most people who do free weights, the primary movers are not what tire first. It's the stabilizers. So somebody doing a dumbbell bench press, you know, let's say they have 60-pound dumbbells in their hands or just a 120-pound barbell. It doesn't really matter. Either way, their pectorals and all that sort of stuff, they could probably, you know, hit maybe 15, 20 reps of that from a strength perspective, but they are only able to get 7 or 8 of them because the stabilizers that control the movement fatigue. They're smaller muscles. They're not meant to handle as much force as the primary movers. But when you sit in when you're using a machine, you take those stabilizers out of the way and you focus mostly on the primary movers, you can lift more weight and do. I remember when I was at the gym again last week. And and this is just going from cables to machines, never mind free weights.
Yeah.
I wanted to do lat pull downs. Both, all the cables were taken. So I went over and found a machine just because I didn't have time to wait. And I think I did 220, 240, something like that for like 10 reps. And I've never come anywhere close to that on a cable lat pull down. Yeah. But it's,
I love the lat pull down.
Yeah, you take that need to stabilize, even with a cable, out of the equation, and my weight jumps.
It's a whole new ball game. You know, and what you're discussing is really an isolation movement versus a compound movement.
Right.
You know, and that's really the big benefit of barbells versus machines, are the compound movements that you're using, multiple joints through their full range. Now, what are some negatives in your mind to machine training?
The negatives are that it doesn't prepare you quite as well for, well, performance for sure. I mean, athletic performance.
Correct.
Not bodybuilding and stuff. It helps quite a bit for them. But athletic performance and overall lifestyle, it can help because you're still strengthening the joints. You're still strengthening the tissue. But you don't have that stabilization piece. And as you get older, that stability becomes even more important than it was when you were younger.
Yeah.
And from a performance perspective, I don't mind if you add them in, but I don't like it because tell me one part of any sport where you are using just one isolated muscle group. It does, I mean, where do you use the leg extension is the big one that everybody harps on because it rightfully so in some respects, but in what sport scenario are you literally just straightening your leg from the knee? There are parts of that that affect how you sprint, how you do all this other stuff, but there's never a point where that muscle is working specifically on its own.
Well, and you hit it right on the head, and then it's also talking about, so when you're sitting in that seat doing a knee extension, that's tibia on femoral movement, mm-hmm. where functional movement is going to be femur on tibia.
Right.
So it reverses because it's a closed chain exercise.
And also in performance, you've got hip extension in there too. You don't get any hip extension on a seated leg extension.
Correct. You know, and that's... You know, I think with a seated knee extension, I would think if someone had like a patellar tendinopathy,
yep.
probably something I'd add in. But again, the goal would be to progress them to functional activity. But I would agree with you with the negatives of just taking away that functional aspect of it. Now, if you were training one of your athletes and they really want to do machine work, where would you program it in their session that day, beginning, middle, or end?
I'd probably put it at the end. There, we talked about how the risk of injury is real low. If they're fatigued, whether it be physical fatigue, neural fatigue, whatever it may be, you know, that they're just fried from whatever the bigger exercise we had them doing are, their sprints, whatever it may be, their risk of injury is super low.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were to reverse it and they nail all their primary movers with machines before they even get into... Right, exactly.
You were asking
compound,
for trouble.
Exactly.
Oh my god!
I mean, it's the same kind of thought as having somebody run 5 miles before they sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Yeah, and I mean, just to go back to that thought first with machines or even isolation movements before compound. I would say maybe for some bodybuilders if they're looking a way to pre-fatigue the area.
Yeah.
But that's a completely different ballgame. But for your average person, I would never recommend that. And anyone who's ever designed programs or anyone who's even just worked out, you know, everyone's probably, you know, rolling their eyes and maybe vomiting in their own mouth a little bit just because they know what it's like. I would say at the very end is the safest place to be. It's also, I would ask them, well, why are we using the machines
right.
in the first place? And if they said, because I want to get stronger, I'd say, you know, there are probably other exercises performance-wise where we can get you stronger. Now, if they said, oh, I want bigger quads, all right. It's a very easy way at the end of the workout to increase time under tension.
Yeah.
Whereas they're probably going to bitch out if you said, drop the weight on your squat and go super slow with eccentrics.
Right.
I'd prefer them to do that, but a lot of people just aren't going to want to put themselves under that amount of strain. So that's where I think it can play a large role. Now, even though I'm okay with machines, I mean, you really think about what are some machines? We talked about some good ones. I'm sure we could talk about more of them, but what are some of the machine exercises that you think are just absolutely ridiculous?
Any sort of fixed back extension, or fixed meaning your lower body is fixed. I mean, where you're just basically, because most people aren't hinging correctly.
Yeah.
They hinge from their lumbar spine, not actually from their hips, or rotational, like the seated ab.
That's
rotational.
What I was thinking of, where you link your arms over it.
I fucking hate that thing.
The problem is, there's a lot of problems with it, but most people aren't moving with their torso.
Right.
They're pulling with their arms.
Right.
And they're creating momentum. You know, and you can even hear it. When they get to the end of the motion, you see their arm move away, and then they end up pulling towards, and you hear the pad hit the arm.
Yeah.
And then you see it move, and it's like, you're pulling with your arms the whole time. Well, I really don't feel this in my core. No shit, because you're not... You're basically turning it into an MMA exercise. You're not doing any rotation at all. But I was going to say, the core stuff I don't really like. You know, maybe the seated crunch. But even then, that's for an absolute newbie or someone who can't get on the ground or someone who has no knowledge of cable or resistance bands where they can't do Pavlov presses or something along those lines. Trying to think what else... I'm fine with the shoulder press.
Yeah.
You know, the row machines. I've used them before at the end of my workout as more progressive overload. The assisted dips, I think, are good for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Assisted
yeah.
pull-up machine. So I'm just trying to think of the
difference. Especially because it's really hard to do a dip correctly without assistance unless you're strong enough.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, I think dips are a great exercise, mm-hmm. but also a great way to... damage your shoulders. Yeah. Just absolutely ruin them. I know people who have torn their pecs before from doing dips because their body rotates too far forward.
Yeah.
And again, if you talk to bodybuilders, the dip itself, whether you're staying more vertical versus have more of a trunk angle, can hit more of the tricep or the chest. So again, not a bad exercise. Just if you do it wrong, that's the problem.
How do you feel about the calf raises? Not the standing calf raises, seated calf raises.
Well, and so there's two calf muscles. There's the gastroc soleus, which crosses, or the gastroc. Well, gastrocnemius.
Yeah.
So it crosses both the knee and the ankle. You have to be in a relatively straight leg position to get the gastroc, the big mover. Mm-hmm. The only way you're really going to hit the soleus effectively is taking the gastroc out of it. So the seated one hits your soleus. It doesn't really hit your gastroc. So if you're training one, you might as well train the other. Mm-hmm. And really all you're looking at is trying to build a stronger calf, or most people are going to use it more for more muscular definition. Functionally, again, I'd rather teach someone how to do something with a triple extension. So right. Knee extension, hip extension, plantar flexion. So I think that one, I'm okay with it if people do it.
I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I just think it's a waste of time.
Absolute waste of time. I mean, I'd rather, it's kind of like when people do calf raises with the leg press.
Right.
It's like, I understand why you do it, but you know, go do farmer's walks. That's going to jack up your calves, you know, more than anything else. I mean, again, we're talking about farmer's walks. Great exercise.
Ooh, I thought of one.
What?
The lateral crunch machine. Isn't that a thing? Isn't there one, like, you put it on your side and you push into it?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Essentially.
Or people will take the regular forward crunch one and they'll turn their body
sideways.
Oh,
okay, yeah. I've seen
that one before.
I hate lateral crunches in general, never mind machine ones.
It's just, it's not the way that the body works.
Right.
You know, instead of actively crunching us to one side, it's actually resisting us from going to that side. So, again, farmer's walks.
Right, exactly.
Would be a great exercise for that. I mean, if you have pneumonia, farmer's walks. I mean, it's a cure for everything.
It really is. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, sweat it right out. So I'm trying to, but that twist one is definitely one that I do not like the twist one. Don't advise.
And it assumes way too much about your ability to rotate.
Yeah.
If you don't have thoracic rotation and you're doing that, especially. And it's even more dangerous because your hips are fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go through hip internal and external rotation. So if you don't have thoracic rotation, if your thoracic is locked up and you can't rotate from where you're supposed to rotate, and on top of that, your hips also can't turn, the only place left to get it from is either your cervical spine or your lumbar spine, which is not supposed to move like that.
Well, you get those people that say, well, what about the rotation that comes from your back? 10 degrees maximum.
Yeah.
5 forward, 5 backwards.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not supposed to move, but
all right, if you really want to argue about this, yes, you're right, there's rotation.
Right.
At one segment, the rest of them have two.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, you're not wrong, but you're not right.
Right.
So, but that's what we see all the time. You know, you lose hip mobility.
Yeah. Right.
Where's the stress go to next? Mm-hmm. It's either going to go to the knee or it's going to go to the back. It's just, I didn't make it. It's just the way it is.
Right.
I've just seen enough people that it's just a normal pattern. Now, if you were talking to someone who's never worked out before and you were trying to push them towards free weights,
mm-hmm.
what are 3 to 4 big things that you'd say, don't do machines, do free weights instead because of? How are you going to get people to join in on the free weight game?
Well, so the core stuff for sure. I don't know. So give me a couple. What were you thinking? Because I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know the benefit of training in general, but we also know the real benefit functionally of free weight training, you know, and all the benefits that it has to offer. But if you really just didn't believe in machine training and wanted to try to push a newbie towards free weights, what are some things that you could highlight to try to sway them to go to free weights?
Well, it's going to help them more with whatever they're doing outside of there.
Good.
If so they're, yeah.
You have to find their motivation first.
Right, exactly.
Because if you're trying to say, hey, listen, you know, this requires more stability, your risk of injury goes up doing these things, you didn't sell them very good.
Right, but I did 90 pounds over there and I can only do 30 pounds over there.
But then it turns into, oh, hey, you like hiking? Well, I would do this exercise. This is going to help you with that. Right. Oh, you like skiing? Oh, this is going to help with that. So I think you really have to draw it in. If our goal is to try to sell function, you have to identify the functional activities that they want to be able to do or get stronger at or have more stability, whatever it is. You know, you got to take that extra step to figure it out. Whereas machines, it's like, yeah, just go work out.
Right.
You know, so it's just work out, get fit. When that's boring, come find us and we'll teach you all the other stuff. When you see people transition into free weights, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you tend to find?
Them trying to mimic the exact same movement with a free weight. The biggest one that I think of, the one that, I don't know if you want to say scares me the most, but it kind of does, is the flies.
Yeah.
Seated chest fly machines are very controlled, very adjustable.
Very user friendly.
Very user friendly.
People still fuck them up. However, yeah, well, right, they're user friendly versus dumbbells.
Right. And you're in a much more control. Even if somehow the arms were free floating, I don't even know how that would be possible. But even if because you're upright, you're still in a more stable position than if you're lying on your back, which you are for a regular dumbbell chest fly. So those worry me a little bit because as soon as you start extending those lever arms or those levers with your arms, the risk of injury goes up. Not saying that you can't do chest flies, but somebody transitioning from a machine to a dumbbell chest fly would be a little bit concerning, especially if they don't.
Yeah, and just laying back on a bench with dumbbells, one biggest mistake that I find, people straighten their elbows right away. Increases the lever arm away from the body. But there's nothing to stop you from your arms going back behind the torso line. And then you're not going to screw up your elbow. You're going to mess up your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, especially when you get someone who doesn't have good shoulder control, good elbow control. If someone hyperextends, oh, they're going to mess themselves up. You have to start them in even more elbow bending. But they don't have the same control.
And I don't think people tend to think about how big of a difference your positioning makes in that. I mean, you see people put them in a front plank, straight line, head all the way down to the ankles, roll them onto their side. Side plank is basically just a front plank just facing a different direction. Mm-hmm. The head drops. The hips are in a weird position just from changing their angle of perception.
Yep.
Never mind going from an upright seated movement to a supine movement looking up. Mm-hmm. Like it, you wouldn't think that it would make a huge difference, but it does.
Absolutely. You know, it's your
I would think, but most
people. Well, it's your perception of the movement. It's your body's ability to detect itself in space now. So kinesthetic awareness, you know, proprioception, that you know, your joint stability changes, the length tension of a muscle changes. So there's a lot that goes into it. Yeah, I mean, there is a huge difference. There's a bigger learning curve going from machines to free weights than from free weights back to machines.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyone who's done machines second, so they probably notice, wow, machines are a whole lot easier. Now, it doesn't mean, they'll probably consider them boring and probably won't like it, actually. But then having someone go from machines to more functional-based movements, they'll probably find that it's easier to progress those functional-based movements, and they also won't hit any type of burnout because you can constantly change it.
Right.
Machines are fixed, so it's not like you can change too much with the machine, so what you have to keep doing is switching up volume, sets, reps, speed, things along those lines. But still nothing that I'd be too concerned with. Now, if we talk about, let's say you have an athlete, and we'll say weekend warriors are thrown into this as well. If you were going to program something for them, where they said, I want to do a couple days of free weights versus a couple days of machines, how would you split that up and why?
So if I wanted to give them both machines and free weights?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we're thinking about it on a... We talked about the fact that I'd want to do the free weight stuff first, machine second. If I'm looking at it at like 2 days a week, I'd probably do it similarly that way. They're going to do... Let's just say they're going to train on Monday and Wednesday. For somebody that's a little bit more used to it, you'd probably be recovered to the point where you wouldn't have to do it this way. But for somebody who's fairly new, the amount of fatigue that's going to be after that free weight session is going to be much more than after the machine session. Mm-hmm. So I'd have the free weights on Monday, the machines on Wednesday, if I was going to do it that way. I don't know if that kind of answers your question.
Yep, it does. The way that I would probably spin it is I'd be okay with doing machines Wednesday or even later in the week, assuming mm-hmm. there's different movement patterns Monday, Wednesday.
Yep.
And then for the machines, what I'd probably use it as is more circuit-style training.
Okay.
So yeah, that way they're still moving. I don't want to think of it as an active recovery day because I still want them to push themselves, but it's going to be less overall stress on their body compared mm-hmm. to the two other days. So I'd be okay with it in the middle of the week or towards the end of the week, but it's very rare I'd put it at the front of the week just because I just more bang for your buck if you're going to do the free weights first.
Right.
Now, we've talked about periodization before and kind of the different aspects. You can have hypertrophy, stabilization, power, all that fun stuff. If you had to think of those phases, what phases do you feel like machines play a role?
I feel like they play more of a role in the hypertrophy, the learning, the practice phase, whatever you want to call it, the higher rep phase.
Yeah.
Just because you can... I mean, like I said before, you could do 60 pounds on a chest fly machine 20 times, whereas with a set of dumbbells, you 30 in each hand, you may be able to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's difficult for me to do. I never do chest fly, so that's kind of part of it, but I'm sure. But, you know, 30 pounds of a dumbbell chest fly is going to be significantly harder.
Yeah, I would definitely say kind of in that preparatory phase, tendon loading, and if we want to call it strengthening.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to use it as like a deload, like in between, like if you're going from a hypertrophy phase to a higher strength phase or vice versa and you want something in the middle, that would be a good deload too.
Yeah, I would say that's fine. And probably an easier way to ask this question would be what phases would you absolutely not use them in?
Strength. Strength or performance? Like the
So now strength, and not to cut you off.
Nope, that's fine.
Are you talking more strength as in like one rep max strength or more like a hypertrophy-ish strength, three sets of eight?
More like a low rep, high weight.
Yeah.
So strength.
that's kind of that stabilization / three sets of eight phase that everyone mm-hmm. tends to use. Again, I call it tendon loading. Connective tissue resiliency. That's where the weights can have their biggest benefit if you're combining both worlds. But I would agree, once you get into the one rep max, the machines do minimal for you based on what you're going to be doing. And then power, I don't think there's any time that I would use. The only time I would ever use a machine, if we want to call it that, one of those jump trainers.
Okay, yeah.
You know, where it's technically a machine, but...
You still have some free range of movement, kind of.
Yeah, I don't even remember what that
is. Are you talking about like the lying ones?
So the lying one too, but the standing one where they strap the band things.
Yes. Okay.
The lying down one, I've seen that used for plyometric training.
So that's great for people that have knee back issues and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I mean, I think that could fit in, but your average machine.
Sorry, I started laughing because I got the thought of somebody doing a chest press for power. A chest fly for power.
That would be awesome.
Just like 30 pounds. Clank. Yeah. Clank. Yeah. Sorry.
They need to load it eccentrically. Well, and even there, I mean, you think about, in theory, you could do a chest press mm-hmm. for power.
Yeah.
But then you got to let the weight slam back down, which you're probably going to get in trouble again from the machine standpoint. And then the people that typically go into the machine room are not going to be the ones who want to listen to weight slamming. So you'll get kicked out anyways.
Right.
Cue the lunk alarm and then you're kicked out. So that's when I see it definitely fitting in. You know, and I've had times where this is when I was personal training more, where people were focused more on like their aerobic health. I won't say running for fat loss. They were runners and they would go hit the treadmill and that was their goal for the day. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, just to keep the muscles kind of where they need to be, you can do these functional activities, or, and this is more so why, just because I'm familiar with it, go right into the machine room, it's right behind it, you know, and just do two circuits, just kind of get the muscles primed, if we want to call it that. So from an injury standpoint, this is where I really see keeping people active, going through like a rotator cuff repair. So there are plenty of people who I'd be fine trying, you know, more functional exercises. However, where they can't use that arm, it's potentially in a sling for the first 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it may be. That's where machines can come in, because they can keep the sling on, they can hold the arm right in, and then they can go through their pushing movements, pulling movements, whatever it may be. So from a rehab standpoint, that's where I see kind of the biggest benefit, because it still allows movement while minimizing stress to that damaged area. So I like that a lot.
I think what's nice too is it can be a way to get in some of the reason that I bring this up is so the person that I actually referred to you dealing with the hamstring thing, mm-hmm, is, you know, in a situation like that where it's a muscle that's very difficult to, it's so involved in stabilization that taking it out of the equation and doing machines instead, even for upper body stuff, can be helpful. I mean, yeah. Try having a pulled, torn, whatever hamstring, and do even like a standing curl, like a cable curl, where it's pulling you forward slightly, and you have to resist that. That's difficult to do.
Well, and the problem is, because you're going to have the people that take more of an athletic ready stance, and they bend their knees.
Yeah,
already is putting a contraction force through the hamstring.
Yeah,
or you'll get the people that will then avoid knee flexion, lockout knee extension, which now puts it on stretch.
Right.
Either way, it's going to kill.
Right.
It's not going to feel great. But getting some load through it, even an isometric contraction with machines can be beneficial.
Yep.
In the case of that tear. I could make the argument for free weights, of course. But again, from the standpoint of minimizing stress to the entire system while maximizing the isolation or increasing the attention and awareness of the muscle, like the hamstring, machines definitely will do a better job at that. Now, does that mean I want to keep them there forever? But
no,
it's a preparation phase to get them into more functional-based activities. But that's oftentimes why we typically will do manual resistance for people, to prepare them. Even if we think of machines as some type of in quotations, manual resistance. Now, granted, it's external. It's at least a stimulus to prepare the body for something that's going to come after that provides a greater stimulus. So, I'm fine with them. You know, I know for me personally, if it were at the end of my workout and I wanted to fit in something else, I'd probably throw them in as an afterthought. It's nothing that I would program in for myself, though.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it would just be, I'm here. I'm not ready to leave. I'll just throw this stuff in. So, but I think there's certainly a time and a place for it. Let's see. Anything else that you think we want to touch upon for this?
No, I think we nailed the bigger parts of it. I mean, the overall process is that strength training is important regardless.
Yeah.
Do I prefer free weights? Yes, but...
Yeah,
damn, if you're not used to being in a gym, you don't feel comfortable in the gym, you're just going to, like, or you're just getting started, fine, hit the machines.
Start with machines, and then when they become boring, progress to functional activity, and then, you know, it's motion is lotion, and we know that strength training helps us forever, so whatever people like to do to increase the strength of their muscles, you know, I'm all for that at this point.
Yep.
You know, if someone has an injury and you want to be able to work out without injuring something else, machines are a great addition. And then at some point, like everything else, you get better at something. You have to increase the stimulus, the challenge, the demand. And then there's a natural progression into functional abilities. You know, I enjoy when people do the leg press and they can do 500 pounds. But does that carry over to, can I even get off the ground?
Right.
So then the goal is, can we teach them lunges or things along those lines? So again, I think for beginners, great place to start, but everyone should eventually progress over. And so even if they started doing like a Tai Chi, I mean, that's mm-hmm. more of a stabilization exercise, but at least it's a functional position. They can control their body weight, even if they're not adding true external resistance. But we don't have to go down that rabbit hole just yet. All right, guys, you know the drill. We get to this point. We say goodbye. We're going to put our links at the bottom. If anyone's interested in having any programs designed by Adam, feel free to reach out. Again, the biggest benefit to having Adam do the designs for you is that you don't have to think about it. All you have to do is just do what you're told. So it makes it nice and easy, because I can tell you I hit mental blocks all the time, and I just prefer doing as I'm told as well. So all of our information will just be listed below. Reach out if you have any questions. And as always, we're looking for ideas. So if there's anything that really interests you or things that you want to know more about, you can message Adam or I, and we'll put it in the rotation to hopefully educate you guys more so you can have a long and healthy and robust lifestyle. But with that said, we'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.
Later, guys.